Hello.
Finally.
I know.
Know how to keep a girl waiting.
I don't know how to work any computers in my life.
Well, you also went away from your home. You went away from your home to your home.
I did. I went away from one home to the other home.
Did you bring your microphone?
And original home. You know what I did, but it's not working, so.
Oh, no.
I know. That's why I was like, oh, I don't think this is going to work. So the trusty phone it is, which is fine.
It's fine. I mean, it can't be any worse than me just like walking around with my phone going in and out of this and this. So it's just like louder and softer. Welcome to Theology on the Rocks, guys.
Welcome. Welcome back.
We're back.
We're back.
We had an impromptu. Well, I guess it really wasn't impromptu, was it? It's 41 years in the making.
It was many years in the making, many months in the plan. But also, we just got overwhelmed with.
I turned 41 this year on July 2nd. Christy did the big 4-0.
The big 4-0 on July 3rd. Yes. So we had a dual. But mostly me celebration.
It was, which after being celebrated so enthusiastically last year, I was very happy to get beyond that. I think my only request was a margarita.
Your that only was, request was, and we did get you a margarita. It took a minute, but we got you.
We did.
Yep.
So there we go. My wish was fulfilled. Boom. It gets easier when you get older. You're not asking for like bicycles or anything anymore. Just,
I know, like, nobody has to put your toys together for you.
No, it's just
you're like, can I have some socks and some underwear? Because
mine have holes in them.
Because mine are terrible and I refuse to pay money for it.
Right.
And then some alcohol. Really?
That's right.
What
my mom was like, what do you want? I was like, I mean, quite honestly, the list is not going to impress you. It used to be, I would be like, I want a Barbie, or actually, I never really played with Barbies. I want a whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then now it's just like, I would love some new tires for my car.
That would be right. Cool. I would love for you to pay my utility bill for a month.
Yes. I think I started with just lots of money, please. And then she was like, well, no. And then I said, okay, well, then let's start seeing what that money would go to. Tires.
Tires.
A house payment. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, guys, so for the birthday, we actually went on a little trip to a place called Dollywood. You maybe have heard of it. We put up some pictures.
We did.
And we celebrated Christy via Dolly, and also I would say Moonshine were the two sponsors. Mm-hmm. Of
Dolly and Moonshine were incredible sponsors.
They were.
That
we paid for.
That we paid for.
We were mutual benefactors. Yeah, no, it was great. I hadn't.
You went there when you grew up.
I did, because growing up in North Georgia, you would typically go there for, quote, skiing, which those of you who know it know that it's basically like an iceberg machine that shoots snow at your face, and like one treacherous hill that you go down while the snow is blowing directly into your face. But it's fun, right? Don't we love skiing? Every Southern
meanwhile
everywhere they want us. I think it's funny because being in the South, it's like it's known it's hot down here, right? So it's like, but they wanted us to participate.
Yeah,
I feel like
they want you to feel like you're doing things.
Yeah, but I think sometimes that's silly. Like, why not just bank on what we do, like,
and not blow
ice cubes at my eyeballs?
I think that's wise. As one who grew up in Colorado. I have very distinct memories of learning how to ski when I was, I think it was 5 years old. My ski instructor's name was Cricket.
Cricket or Cricket?
Cricket, like the animal.
Oh.
Like Jiminy Cricket.
That's nicer than Crooked.
Crooked. Cricket.
Hello, I'm your ski instructor for children. My name's Cricket.
Well, let me tell you about Cricket. Who, like, to preface, I loved him. I thought he was fantastic, but
this is a what we call a shit sandwich in academics.
Yes, it is.
This is the nice buttery bread part.
This is how he got me to go down the hill. So he, you know, took me to the top of that little bunny slope. But I was five, so it's a big hill in my eyes.
I was five.
Yeah, there are pictures. There are pictures. I can.
You're not like even a functioning humanoid at that stage.
Like, I was learning how to ski before I really had grasped the concept of, like, walking properly, you know?
That feels insane. But please continue.
But I get to the top of this hill, and he's, like, and I, like, look down, and I start crying a little, because I'm, like, oh, God, this is so scary.
Yeah, because you're five. You're five.
And do you know what
like,
he said
to me? Like, walking down the steps would be scary at five, let alone going down an ice mountain.
Well, we had real snow, so it wasn't ice, but...
Oh, I'm sorry. That feels less scary. A giant snow pit.
It's much softer to land in when you fall.
You're five, Christy. But I was five. Really want to emphasize that.
But wait for this is the best part. He said to me, if you cry, you'll melt all the snow and you'll never get down the hill back to your parents.
Whoa, Cricket. Jeez.
And that Dang. Is how I went down that hill. And
oh, wow. And that's when Christy learned what gaslighting was.
And what that's in when the... I died inside. If you want to know why I don't cry very often anymore.
Is a snowball melt?
It is Cricket.
And you'll never see your parents again. What the heck? Wow.
I remember telling my mom, and she was like, oh, that was probably a good way to get you down the hill.
What in the world? Kathy, no.
Kathy, this is not great parenting.
That's what we call it. Hashtag Colorado parenting. But also, wow. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. That's that. You know, I appreciate you sharing. You can go to the therapist. Though, maybe. That feels like that's gonna need some deep cleaning.
Trauma therapy. Yeah.
Every time you cry, you just like call your parents to make sure they're still.
Are you still here?
Well, are you still? Can I see you? Because I cried. Sorry.
Yeah.
The equivalent in the South was learning to swim, I guess, because that was our version.
And right.
I do have that I Survived the Blizzard of 93 sweatshirt on, and I'll put that up on the
yes.
Because if you know, you know. And that's all I'm going to say.
I mean, I even heard. I don't blame y'all.
We had I a can't time. Imagine. It was a bad time.
I can't imagine.
It was so bad. We struggled so hard. We were not prepared. But anyway, but the swimming, my grandma, she was old school, you know. And so I was smaller than five. I was like probably like baby / toddler age
probably
and like
yeah.
They just threw me in.
I was gonna say that they just throw you into the pool. I've yeah. seen this
yeah
this then horrifies
my grandma
me.
Was like she'll swim if she needs she wants to live and I'm like I'm a toddler what do you mean.
Your baby instincts kick in and they're like swim
as I just sank like a rock straight to the bottom. I was like there's a reason they're called babies. They don't do well at survival.
Yeah, human babies are incredibly ill-equipped to survive.
Correct. That's why we have to spend so many years getting them to the point of survival on their own. Like, the opposite. They're yeah. bad at it.
They're very bad at it. Yeah. 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 No, but I have seen those videos and they horrify me, much like skiing at five was horrifying to you.
Wow, I'm glad we worked out this trauma together.
We did.
I will say that I would talk to our friends in the UK and they would be like, oh, like I took lessons. And I was like, they were like, oh, you're really good at swimming. Did you take lessons? And I was like, no, I did no. not. I said, much like being religious, I don't remember when I learned to swim, but it just was.
It just happened.
Just happened and now I just jump into any body of water at will, which is kind of nice. But I mean, and you're probably really good at skiing and you're not scared of it. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I was really good at skiing. And then one day I had just taught one of my friends how to ski. He was from Texas. It was his first ski trip.
Please tell me that you repeated the crying thing.
I absolutely did. I was like, if you cry, you'll never see your parents again. He was 18, though.
So I was going to say, he was much less effective. He's like 35.
He was like, I don't care.
He's like, my parents are dead, but thanks for bringing it up. But,
so, I can't see them anymore anyway.
But you know what? Great. Great memory. Thanks.
I taught him how, and we were like both going down. I think we were on greens at that point because he learned pretty. He was.
Please explain to anyone that lives below the Mason-Dixon line what green means.
Green is medium. So blues are the easiest. Greens are mediums, and then blacks are the hardest. So, and usually with the black ones, you'll get like the bumps, the moguls, and stuff. And
the moguls.
Moguls. I think we were on a green, and like he was going down kind of slow next to me, and. I mean, it was his first time, so it was fine. I remember very distinctly thinking, I hate this. It's so cold. You're so cold. And it's $1 million to ski in Colorado.
Yeah.
And you're cold all day. And I got sent in because I had frostbite at one point. And I was like, I don't understand why I'm doing this.
Like, it was just actual frostbite?
I did. Like, yeah.
This sounds great. This is a great activity.
The guys at the ski lifts will like, they'll be like, oh, it looks like you have signs of frostbite. You need to go inside for a bit and like warm up. And this is like, no one's concerned about this. I just should tell you. No one's like, oh my God.
Real casual for something that feels important. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Your nose is halfway off your face.
I just want you to know this. When I heard about Harry and his frostbite from his tell-all book, I was like,
didn't his penis get frostbite? Yeah. How did it? I didn't read it. Was it good?
You know what? I'm only like a fourth of the way through.
Wow. It's been a minute.
I'm not making tons of progress, but it's kind of sad. It's a bit sad at the moment. So
I would expect
not that I thought it was gonna be a good time.
It would be like if your parents, because you were the last born, were like, well, we've got a spare.
I mean if we screwed up the others.
We got a spare one here on the end.
Yeesh. Yeah. So yeah, I just was very like in that moment of skiing, I was like, I actually hate this, which is really, it was a very weird thing because I was in ski club. I was a fairly avid skier for a really long time. And then it was just this moment of realizing that I hated it so much and I've never been back.
I mean, do you automatically lose your Colorado card?
You absolutely do. People are very mad at me. Actually. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people who were born and raised in Colorado are a lot less impressed by skiing than the people who move here. Cause we got over it really quickly. It's expensive.
I'm sure. I mean, it's expensive. And also you have to buy all the stuff.
Cold all the time. I will say though that this my friend who I taught how to ski is like, now he's an avid skier and he skis the hardest stuff and he's like very into it. So I take all of the credit for that.
I bet on his tender or whatever version of that he's on, there's a picture of him on a mountain.
Absolutely. He also has climbed all of the mountains and has like the signs on his living room wall or something. So,
okay.
He's from Texas, but he really dove hard into like, I'm going to be in Colorado.
That sounds right. That sounds right. Out of the frying pan into the fire, as they say. sort of patriotism. I will say we went to Dollywood to circle back. And yes. There was, now that we've gotten through our childhood trauma of being I will say swimming's a lot less intense. You just kind of like jump into water. You don't really have to. There's a man on a Segway going down the street right now, and I think he's going to stop at my house. And so the question is, I'm sitting facing the window, and he can definitely see me. Oh, he passed me by on the Segway. Oh my gosh, I feel offended.
If only he knew. what he
Well, I was about to be like, should I crawl in the bag? Because he's going to ask me a question. Anyway, Stuart, the Jehovah's Witnesses came to the door whenever I was away. And Stuart, my husband, who's Scottish, you know, you don't really have as much of the whole, well, door-to-door situations. And he got evangelized by the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, did he?
He was so proud about it, though. He was excited. We have the watchtower. He took the stuff and everything. We have the watchtower pamphlet over here.
Oh, my God, I love that.
We can dig into it in the next episode.
Absolutely. But I had some Jehovah's Witnesses that came once a week to my door once. It was great.
Once a week?
Yeah, they really wanted me to join their church.
He was so sweet, though, because he was like, acted like I didn't know who they were, which, because he just listens. I teach religion in America, and so he just listens to me talk about all this stuff all the time. He's like, and then they started praying for me, and then I just like closed my eyes. He was like, I really wanted to make them happy.
Oh no, they're gonna come back.
They haven't, though. They said he was like, I think they got their checkbox and then they just went away. I mean,
I can't believe they haven't come back.
I mean, unless that was that guy on the Segway. He said it was two women, though. So
yeah, mine was two women, too. It was two women, and they never tried to convert me or anything. They just kept inviting me to their bingo nights. And I think because I had a really weird schedule.
That's where it starts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's usually what you're trying to do is like get them to come to your community events and like befriend them and stuff. But like I had a weird schedule. So I'd be home on random days. And I think that they thought that I was just like lonely and at home. And they were constantly coming and inviting me to things. And I was just
Did you like it though? Maybe it was.
I did feel pretty proud.
I was going to say. He was really proud. Yeah. He said he felt like a real American that someone had tried to evangelize. I love the idea. He was like, I just closed my eyes. He was like, I didn't want them to feel bad.
Oh, gosh. That's the most British thing.
It's so British. He was like, they said some stuff, so I just closed my eyes.
I just played along because I didn't want to be rude.
Right. Awesome.
That's amazing.
But also, we didn't tell our drinks before I continue on. I'm gonna go on the train. Oh, I've been drinking it the whole time. I was drinking it before you even called me.
This is terrible. Okay. Well,
I did get two of them.
I got a whole box because that was what was
available. Good. Good, good. Oh, that was what mine would sound like if it wasn't open. So our drink this week. Is we decided because Chrissy has left the promised land and gone to Colorado.
I am in Colorado.
To see Taylor Swift, among other things. Without me. She didn't take me. Whatever. No. I mean, I would have been out there in my tent waiting for the merch to open, but
this overnight camping for the merch.
I would never do that. So we decided to pick our favorite drink. So, of course, we have these drinks you guys send in, and we've got our book of drinks that are from our favorite ladies. But we also thought, like, on the day-to-day, because I'm in Charlotte because I have no life, even though Christy's in Colorado. And this is me. And so our favorite local, like, brewery / cider, which I'm drinking cider because here's a spoiler alert, is I don't drink beer.
I'm not a beer drinker.
Mm-mm. Do not think me a Puritan, ye old listeners, however.
No, because she will drink moonshine. I saw it happen.
So true. I almost barfed. I said I had to take a walk. We're gonna come back to that though.
We are.
But I got Queen City Common, which is a cider. Queen City, Charlotte is the Queen City after old Queen Charlotte, of which it was named and gifted until we became a hornet's nest of rebellion, as they say. But yeah, so Queen City Common from Red Clay Cider Works is my favorite. I drink it. I probably keep this place open because I drink it so much.
What is the specific cider you have?
Yeah, it says a semi-dry cider. I don't know. It just doesn't, it's not too sweet. It's perfect for like, you know what the equivalent probably is like light beer, I guess. It's mm-hmm. like, it's not too sweet. It's not, it's also 7%. So it doesn't taste like water either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also not like 10%, not naming any names. So, which is why I can drink it before you got on. So, yeah.
I've had two sips of mine and I'm already drunk. So,
so that's it. It is born and raised in North Carolina. North Carolina has a lot of breweries. They, you know, I was telling Christy that I think North Carolina sometimes, because it's a southern big city, wants to be like Atlanta, but I think actually it wants to be like Denver a little bit.
I do too.
It's into the breweries and the.
I felt it when I was there. It's a very like southern version of Denver, and so I love Charlotte. I do.
Well, there you go. There
good
you
place. Go. But yeah. So I.
What's yours?
Leah suggested we do this, and I got very excited and I had to Google it because this beer is a little bit difficult to find. But there's a brewery in Boulder called Avery Brewery Company, and they have several are my favorites, but this one particularly, it's a Belgian quad, so it's 10%, but it's called the Reverend.
Ooh, I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that part.
Yes, it's called the Reverend and I love it. And so when I went to my very first AAR was in San Diego.
I thought you were going to say AA.
My very first time going to
you
AA.
You drank it at the AA meeting.
I just that popped feels... open one of these and I was like, what? It's called the Reverend. No,
that's very stupid. Disrespectful, Christy.
Very disrespectful.
Okay. AAR, I'm with you.
AAR.
You went away.
I know. I'm sorry. My mom was calling, but it's,
see, I'm telling you, it happens.
The phones. So I was going with several of my colleagues, and one of my colleagues had heard tell about this like unofficial reception that was happening and was being hosted by a couple of the PhD students of NT Wright, and it was like a bring.
I bet that was a blast.
It was I have never seen so many drunk people in my life. Leah,
for those of you who don't know NT Wright, a very famous New Testament scholar, yes, that is at St. Andrews
and in Scotland. Yeah, so it was a bring your local beer. So they were like, we don't want to drink the shitty beer that you usually have at receptions. We're going to, so everybody, your like entrance fee was a 6-pack of your favorite local beer.
Mm.
And so I brought.
That's not a bad idea. We might need to steal that.
I know it was so much fun. And there were a bunch of publishers there. They did raffles. People were winning things. It was actually like probably the best reception I've ever been to. It was
until the one where she met me.
Until the one where I met Leah and she walked away from me. But but
that story got retold, by the way, at the weekend, guys, just in case you were wondering.
I brought the Reverend and it was a big hit, but it is 10%. And so it's not for the faint hearted. But it's so good. It's so tasty. I really like it. I really like stouts and porters, but this one is.
You're like the opposite of Stuart. He like avoids those. He loves a good lager.
Most of the time I'm gonna drink a stout, but this one is my favorite beer of all time. So, but you know. It's good.
Here's
I'm
where
not
I go
driving.
Against my whole. Oh yeah, no, we're at home. We're at home right now. Beer's where I go against my hit you in the back of the face sort of drinking, because I want. I think because it's so hot, I want it to be kind of light and not.
I get. I mean, I definitely can go for a good like pale or wheat or lager or something if it's really hot out. I understand that those are more refreshing, but like all things equal, my beer tastes are much like my wine tastes, and I just really want it as intense as possible. That's really what I'm always going for. But anyway, we'll put pictures of our respective beers. Up, and you guys
support
can
local breweries.
Support local breweries and track down your favorites and tell us which ones are good. And maybe we'll have a beer reception at AAR this year.
I think that's amazing. The idea of the six pack and then just having everyone get together and
that'd be fun. Great. Yeah.
And yeah, I did hear on NPR, because that's what kind of human I am, that. Local breweries are having they've kind of peaked, at least in North Carolina.
Oh.
And so they're having some trouble.
People aren't
spending as much money as they used to, I think.
The current news in Colorado, up until about a year or two ago, there was a law here that only one grocery store in the state could sell liquor or anything that wasn't 3-2 beer.
What's 3-2 beer? What does that mean?
3-2 beer is like
the lights and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's like especially light. It's like way less alcohol than usual kind of light. I know that it means something, and I just can't remember what it means at the moment. Okay. But so one Target in the state could have an alcohol section. Essentially, one Walmart could have it. Most of the ones that had it were in Denver. And so we had a really strong, local liquor stores, mom and pop places, stuff like that. Uh-huh. And they just overturned the law a couple, one or 2 years ago. And so right now, everybody.
Oh, no, I remember your friend Jen talking about this.
Yeah,
she voted against it.
I mean, everyone I know voted against it. I don't know how it passed. It was really upsetting because for a lot of reasons. One is that, you know, it's nice to have some local stuff and not everything needs to be big chain corporate stuff. And also it was not inconvenient. There was a liquor store next to every grocery store. Like, it wasn't like you were having to hunt them down, you know?
Yeah.
But also it was a great way for the smaller craft breweries to get their stuff into stores, because Target does not care about the little brewery in Colorado Springs that sells a couple of cases, you know, but your local mom and pop shop might sell it for you. And so it was just overall really good for local things. And I guess they've been hurting. So
yeah,
all this
I should say the cidery that I got this from is Red Clay. I don't know if I said that. I probably did, but just you're guilting me into repeating it.
I just feel very passionate about shopping local. But oh my goodness, let us tell you guys about Dollywood, because
I have to say, I did go to it growing up, because the two options were the ice pit that I described of Dollywood, and then for summer, you would go to Panama City Beach and the Redneck Riviera. I can say it because I'm on the inside. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the two. The common theme of both places was Confederate flag outfits, basically, which we saw while we were there.
We did. We saw.
There was a man who just had done from head to toe, basically a giant flag.
Who saw me staring at him.
I know. Well, I was screaming for her to look at it. and then she did. Ugh. And then it was like, oh, okay. So that's what I grew up going to. And I hadn't been probably since I was 14 or 15. But I went to AAR in Denver. Lord, of course, it was Denver.
Yep,
my God, it's always in Denver. And there was someone in the practical theology group who did a presentation on Dollywood as being sort of a pilgrimage site, but for two very different ends of the theological spectrum, so that it's sort of like this place for community of, you know, people who as LGBT queer community to come and do pilgrimages, but also that there was a chapel on, which we saw, and they were having church because it was Sunday.
They were having church.
we were like, I don't know, let's get on the train. But that also, it's kind of a pilgrimage site for kind of conservative, I don't want to say evangelicals, because I think it may be more just like conservative, traditional people, maybe.
I would almost even say like more politically conservative.
Yes.
That are also vaguely religious or believe they are.
Yes. That are Southern. And so grew up with that sort of like,
yeah,
like the Carter family, listening to them on the radio kind of thing. And also Dolly Parton and all that. So
yeah.
So like my grandparents, basically. my family, basically. But they did he did a present. It was a he, and I'm sorry, I can't remember what your name is, sir. I will look it up for next time. But he did this presentation, and I thought it was really, really interesting because, you know, it is this sort of place. It doesn't feel like it is for everybody because it feels like you're like on one side or the other.
Mm-hmm. You know, it really did. Yeah. Like
there was no sort of gray when it came to Dollywood. So I don't know. What was your thoughts? Was your first time.
It was my first time. And it was, I mean, almost exactly what you're saying is that there was this sense that you're at Dollywood, and Dolly Parton being such a force of support for equality in various aspects and all of the work that she's done, both to like help her community, but also just, you know, to be a good voice for people in the world. And you definitely got a sense that a lot of people were there because of their love for Dolly, which is why we went. Because I was like, how am I going to turn 40? And then I was like, I think that this is my Dolly era. I'm going to enter into my Dolly Parton era.
Which we were all very excited about.
Yes. And it was great. I have to say it was really fun. So you get that sense, but then there's also this sense of that very conservative, and like you said, the kind of Southern traditional, mm-hmm. where like at one point, it was pretty early on in the day, we were like, you know, it would be great right now as a margarita.
It was so early. It was like 10 a.m. This is where my margarita started. Because we went on my birthday on
it was Leah's actual birthday when we were at Dollywood.
And swiftly, speaking of traditional sort of stuff, it is completely dry.
Dry. Yeah, yeah. We like.
Which Disney World is not.
Looked around a bit and then one of my friends asked and found out that it's completely dry. And we were like, this is shocking in so many ways. I guess I understand to a point the family aspect of it, but Disney World is not dry.
No.
And
it's gotten increasingly less dry.
I mean, it's known for drinking adventures.
Just like drinking around the world.
Drink around the world. And like, at the same time, name a more family-centric place than Disney World, you know, right. And so it was kind of a shock, I think, especially for those of us who didn't grow up in cultures that emphasized that, you know.
It was a shock to me, and I was born in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Like, I was surprised.
You know what else was shocking was that, I think you told us this, that the county that Jack Daniels is in?
Yeah. That was me and your other pal.
That if you go to the Jack Daniels distillery, it's a dry county and you can't drink it there. I was like, what is happening?
Correct.
It just felt very, like you said, it was this kind of weird juxtaposition of two very different worldviews and beliefs and like mingling together in this very weird way, because they both see themselves reflected in the stuff that's going on, and yet they don't see each other as, you know,
they don't approve of each other.
Yeah. They don't approve of each other. And I felt like that was a very interesting thing to kind of keep noticing as we were there. And it was with the chapel and the fact
there's a chaplain. I learned that from the paper. There's an actual chaplain.
There's an actual chaplain that like
works at Dollywood.
Works and lives. And then, like, we took this little train ride around the park, and they told us a lot of the history of the park and of Dolly herself and of the area, and like talked a lot about the various ways that Dolly has helped the area with her charities and her like her book library stuff. I can't even remember what it's called. It was just
she built that town basically.
She's poured so much in to this area and given them so much. And so you kind of get this sense of like, I don't know, it's like these two very competing worlds, just but then just like both happily at Dollywood.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone being like, oh my gosh, you've got an American flag and you've got a like a LGBT rainbow flag.
No, there was no
no fight. Everyone's just like delighted to be
Delighted to be at Dollywood. And I mean, I made a horrible face at that Confederate flag man, but that was off property.
Oh yeah, that was Jimmy Buffett's margarita.
We had lost the magic of Dolly at that point.
Yeah, that was in a different place.
That's where we finally found a margarita.
I was gonna say we were not on our own on Dolly's territory anymore. Angelic territory.
It is very interesting to think about how those things kind of combine and interact with each other in these ways, and like what I do wish we could like have more of that presentation, thinking about the ways that the kind of religion of Dollywood, you know, is.
Well, we should write something.
We should. We can present that as a panel at AAR 2025.
Just another thing.
How long it's going to take us to do it.
We got time. As I say that, I'm opening my next one.
Your next one? Is it the same?
Yeah, it's the same.
I saw at an AAR a panel presentation on the religions of biker colonies, and similarly very interesting kind of the combination of more progressive worldviews combined with very traditional.
What's a biker colony? I know what bikers are. Do they live together?
Communities. Yeah, like the biker communities. The ones that are like actual, not just people who ride bikes, but like the ones that, like you see on Sons of Anarchy, that kind of. He did a whole.
Do they look the same as the Sons of Anarchy?
Sadly, I don't think so.
Too bad.
He did a whole like field work. Like he went and like lived with the bikers of, I can't remember what the group that he studied was, but he taught us all about the hierarchies and the ways that you approach various people and the kind of rules and traditions that they have. And then and like it was so strange because some of it is so incredibly like old conservative traditional understandings of things. Hello again.
I've trapped my cat. He's losing his mind.
This one, Beethoven.
No, it's Salem.
Oh,
there's a lot of feelings happening right now. You know how Penny has feelings?
Penny has all the feelings.
There's a lot of feelings happening right now.
Salem also has all the feelings.
Salem mostly has been, yeah. He's ever since we got our dog, Salem, who was the firstborn, maybe my last love, who knows? But he's adjusted to varying degrees of success to the animals. Yeah. And the dog felt like the final straw to him, I think.
I can understand that. I mean, the dog is the most.
He just knocked off my birthday card with his tail from my mother-in-law.
From your mother-in-law? Oh.
Yeah.
Real feelings.
And he just watched it. He doesn't care.
It's just like, this is how I feel right now.
The biker gangs.
The biker gangs, yes.
Do you want to finish with the biker gangs? For the 50th time, guys, just so you know, we've had some technical difficulty. Chrissy's been trying to finish up the discussion on this biker. She didn't even know. She's doing a dissertation on these biker gangs.
The profound things that came out of my mouth earlier and are gone now.
Okay, well guys, just know that the biker gangs are like Dollywood, and yes. You maybe just have to research that one on your own.
Yeah. I mean, but it's
there's
just
a lot of different people in one place with different ideologies.
I think the thing that really gets me, though, is that it's not even necessarily that there are different people with different ideologies. It's that the thing can contain both things, you know? Like, the biker gangs and Dollywood both have elements of kind of what we see as polar opposites. And it's so just interesting and strange to watch. And
it's inspirational, I think, in a way. Because it's just like, you know what? I do not love your political message on your shirt, but we can go and listen to Dolly's greatest hits together.
Yes.
And
it really does give some kind of a starting point in talking about those things. Like,
yeah, but we don't have so many of those anymore. And I think
we don't,
especially with the political divide as it is. It's just like, and it feels like the politicians are kind of wanting us to be, they don't want those spaces to exist, I don't think. Like,
I don't think so either, because as much it's really benefiting the politicians for us to be divided in these things, because they can use that and
100%.
Like, and keep us from actually like forcing the government to work for the people, you know.
And she was on, I remember before I left, I saw her on, it was the TikTok children, and she was talking about her support. She was being asked by, who was the late night guy that just had like the microphone? Anyway, he was like a radio host. But anyway, he was interviewing her and he said, you know, you've gotten, this is clearly like in like, I would guess the early 2000s. And he was like, you've gotten some criticism from supporting the LGBT community. And she was like, you know what? It's not. And I thought it was just such a nice theological position. It was just like, she never said, oh my gosh, you know, I'm a part of that world, like whatever. She just was like, it's not my job. This is like above my pay grade. Like, I just want everyone to get along. I want to sing songs. I want people to be happy. And I'm going to love them.
Yeah.
And that's what we're instructed to do, is to love people. And
it is what we're instructed to do.
And it just was like, would it have been nice for her to come out and be like, you know, we're all created in God's image and there's, God makes no mistakes and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But she didn't, she just kind of like said, you know, it's not my thing to do. This is not for me to do. And this is about people's relationship. We believe so strongly, at least in the Protestant tradition and Catholic tradition too, but we believe so strongly about this relationship. Well, then let it be a relationship.
Yeah.
Why are you so concerned with someone else's relationship? Who cares? Get on with your life. Like,
well, and it really is like, do you actually think that you're bigger than God, that you get to decide who has a relationship with God and who doesn't? Because you don't know those things. Like, you can't know how strong a person's relationship with God is just because they disagree with you on some stuff. And I mean, to be fair, it's above all of our pay grades. Like, you and I have PhDs in this, and I still am like, I'm not going to tell you whether you have the correct relationship with God or not.
Well, no, because we don't know. And I think one of the things with in AA, I remember someone telling me, I've never participated in it, so this may not be accurate, but someone told me about it. They said that one of the sort of tenets is to keep your side of the road clean. And I sort of like that.
Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. You
know, keep your side of the road clean, and like, that's your job, basically. Mm-hmm. And the rest is up to the rest. And I think that's what she was like basically saying is, like, I love everybody. It's, you know, I'm just keeping my side of the road clean. And it works. You know, it's amazing. And I do think that she offers a space for that and for people to be able to be who they are. And she says, you know, it's your thing. It's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I'm also not going to be like, you can't, you know, come to my park or whatever. I do have to say, she did change. I used to go to the Dixie Stampede, which was there was a theater. It was like
one of the many dinner theaters.
One of the many dinner theaters, but it's like medieval times, if you've ever gone to one of those. It's like a lot of chicken legs situations.
And there's a reason we didn't go to that when we were there. And it's because I looked at the menus of all of the places and I was like, I know.
That's a lot of chicken. I mean, they're all the same. I'm sure like a good side of macaroni and cheese. Chrissy would just be eating carbs the whole time.
I would have gained 50 pounds in like 2 days.
But you could have cheered on some nights. But they changed it to the, so it used to be the South versus the North, and you chose a size. And you would like be,
what is it? What is it now?
It's just the Stampede.
It's just the Stampede.
Trick out the Dixie part. And there's, I don't think it's the Civil War anymore. I mean, we didn't go, but I think it's more like cowboy situations.
Okay. There was one that was the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Oh, yeah. I saw that at some stage. I mean, you know, it felt like if the South got a Disney World that was based on the Southern culture, it's like they're in Myrtle Beach. It's just like.
Yeah. Yeah. It very much is.
There was a guy who, I can't remember his name, so I can't call him out, but like he had on overalls and was putting on this like I heard a dirt accent. Yeah. And then he was like, I'm actually from Tampa.
No.
And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And he was like, yeah. And he had like cut off overalls. Like, and I was just like,
Was that our bartender?
Yes.
Whose name may or may not have been Pickle.
That's it's made up, Christy. In case you didn't get it. He's from Tampa. There's no way anyone from Tampa named their kid Pickle. Sorry if there's any pickles out there. But like, I'm just saying the whole thing, it was a charade or a charade.
It was
UK. He just was putting it on. And so I sort of was like, okay, where are you from? And I just broke him down.
And he was from, yeah.
It didn't take much to break him down, to be fair. But
I mean, he pretty quickly told you. He was trying to work out.
On it. Let's do it. And then I was like, where are you from again? And he was like, oh, I'm from Tampa. Just like that voice. I'm from Tampa.
Please don't tell anyone else.
Don't tell anybody. And I was like, okay. I'm pretty sure they know, but it's fine. Yeah, because none of us are wearing. He was trying to
work out what was going on.
He was the last place. And on a moonshine tasting, you never want to be the last.
The last place. So they kept telling him that it was my birthday. But he was like.
So we went on this tasting. And oh, we should say this before we talk about the tasting, though. Is speaking of tastings, if you guys are planning on going to Theology Beer Camp, we are going to be doing the podcast there, as well as we are going to be speakers there too. So if you have a great time, I was at Chapel Hill last year, and if you want to do that, please use our code because we get credit for it.
We do. It's Rocks God Pod. Rock. What is? Oh no.
The other podcasts seem to indicate that there's more.
There's $25 off.
Very good.
And it's on our Instagram, and so you can get it everywhere. But it is. Oh geez, I'm trying to remember. It's. I've had.
I'm sorry. I'll do a little
dance. I've had enough of this drink. Okay, so our promo code is RocksGod.
I don't know.
It's RocksGodPod.
Could you repeat that? Because I think it got cut off.
Did it get cut off? It's RocksGodPod. Like theology on the rocks, but take out theology on. And then God Pod.
There you go. Because
it's the God Pods. It's on our Instagram, and we will post it again with a link and etc. But you get $25 off if you use our promo code.
And it means a lot because this is our first time going.
Yeah.
And we may be one of, well, I want. So it would absolutely help us for you to do that.
And Leah and I get to
hang out with us.
Yeah. We're both going to be speaking. There's a bunch of other good speakers coming. And podcasts, and Leah's been, and she says it's fun, and I trust her judgment.
I don't know if you should do that, but what is that David Rose quote where he's like, the fact that you trust me as a guide is incredibly terrifying.
Like, this is a poor decision on your part.
He's singing karaoke, and you can do that with us. Yeah. But yeah, so Rocks
God Godpod is our promo code.
Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. As a final thing that we wanted to talk to you guys about is the billboards of the Midwest.
Oh, yeah. So Christy, for a reason that she told me that I still am not sure if it was logical, decided to drive. I wouldn't even say the Midwest.
It's
it doesn't have them as much as South Carolina, but like specific areas that have these like incredibly religious billboards
everywhere. Yeah,
everywhere. And Christy decided to drive from Florida to Colorado, as yes. One does.
It's always a good time.
as one does.
As one does. And I saw so many. In particular, the ones that I was primarily in shock and awe over were all the ones being like, if you die right now, where are you going? And it just has like a picture of fire behind it.
I think you faded out after if you. Oh, what did it say? If you want.
If you die right now.
Oh.
Where are you going?
Oh.
And then there would just be a picture of fire.
Oh.
Like.
They're not very thorough in terms. Like, the threat is there, but they're not very thorough in terms of how you avoid the fire.
No. I mean, I would assume that there's something they're trying to get you to do other than just be like, well, yes, I am on a highway driving, and there's a good likelihood that if I was to die in a crash, fire would be involved. But you're right. Not really spelling out what you're actually trying to spell out, which is that you're saying I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah, like, how do you avoid the fire?
How do you avoid the fire? These kinds of billboards that have, like, threatening messages but then no, like, follow-up to it. Right. I just don't understand at all.
That, so why are we're going to talk a little bit about the billboards, but also because there used to be the ones in the 90s. I don't know if you had them up north, but would be like, which hey, ones? Well, it'd be like, hey, see you this Sunday before the game. And then it'd be like, God. It's like God was saying, hey, what's up?
Yes. I remember when I was a kid and we would be walking to the Broncos games, there would be men with signs that said that.
Mm.
Just like standing by the stadium, like, you're going to the game, you should be going to church. What do you think I'm gonna do? Right, I'm gonna turn around and leave. I already have tickets.
So much, we like decided skiing. We were gonna find our
yeah, favorite I ones
mean, we were gonna yeah, do our favorite ones and see what the other thought of them. Do you want me to go first? Because I've got some fun ones.
Yes, you go first.
Okay. So, this one says, the Big Bang Theory. You've got to be kidding. God. Out there.
It's just like, pretending to be God talking to you.
Yeah. But also the Big Bang Theory, I feel like, is not like evolution. You know, it's not like, okay, people have views on that, whatever. But like, could God not have done the Big Bang Theory? The Big Bang?
This is a thing. One of my,
I don't even know if they like the Big Bang Theory anymore.
When I was working at my previous institution, one of the biology professors said to me, I don't understand why Christians are so upset. Couldn't God be the Big Bang? Like, why is that not
right?
Like, a
it feels thing? Pretty epic. Like,
it feels like if yeah. there was a Big Bang, the Big Bang is probably God. And I was like, that's a very true statement.
Right. I mean, it seems simple to me, but you know, I don't know. I don't really I guess it's a political statement. But yeah, I mean, if you believe that God is sort of infinite, then why can't God do this?
Why can't God have been the Big Bang?
Also,
I mean, honestly, it lines up with the description in Genesis. Like, there would have been a Big Bang the moment God spoke. Like,
you faded out again.
Oh.
You're back
again. I feel like it lines up with Genesis pretty well. Like, God spoke things into existence. That feels like a Big Bang.
Right. I don't, well. You've got to be kidding, Christy. You've got to be kidding.
You've got to be kidding. I have a similar one, and it's got a little picture of what I assume they think evolution looks like. So there's a gorilla, and then a like half man, half gorilla, and then a kind of human, and it's crossed out, and it says, "In the beginning, God created." Period.
What? Yeah. Well, yeah. Wait, what? See, this is not us making fun of that. Well, in a little bit, we are making fun.
It is.
It's more bit. Making fun of, like, we're not sure what the message is.
The message is so convoluted.
It's complicated, and you're driving at like 70, so you got to really work it out pretty quick. So, evolution. Sorry. I've got that, but like,
yeah.
Why did they cross out the human?
I mean, all three. It's like the evolution idea is crossed out. Like, this is what evolution is. It's that we all evolved from monkeys or whatever. That's wrong. God created us. But it's just like,
that's a lot to work out.
It's a lot to work out while you're driving quickly down the road. And then in like much smaller print says Genesis 1:1, which.
I think what is the purpose of the ones we've just mentioned? So clearly they're challenging, I guess, science, but like, it's also like, you know, what are you actually hoping to accomplish?
It's my question. What is happening with these?
Because you have to have some knowledge, base knowledge. Like, no one's going to be evangelized. They're mostly going to be confused by that, I would think.
They're mostly just, I think you're either going to drive by that sign and think, yeah, that's right, because you already agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to drive by it and be like, why did they spend money on that? It's terrible, because you already know you don't agree with it. Everyone else is like, what does that sign mean? It sounds crazy.
I saw that there was an increase. There's this group. I can't remember what they were called, but they'd increased like 400% from like 2010 to 2015 of like evangelism via billboards.
Really?
Yeah. It was a huge amount. It was crazy.
There was a period in which somebody had predicted that the world was going to end on a very specific date. And so,
oh, yeah, it was the Mayan calendar, right?
I think, well, but it was like
December 12th of 2020 or something.
There were a whole bunch of billboards in Colorado at the time that were all like, this is the date of the end of the world. Are you ready? And like, the date came and went, and the billboards were still there.
Oh no.
And we were like,
little graveyard. It's like the Seventh Day Adventist, the Great Disappointment, where they all like, they sold. So the Seventh Day Adventist like predicted the end of the world a couple times. Well, the leader of them did. Then it was for real. It was like in the 1860s or something. And then basically the leader, his name I can't remember right now, he basically was just like, sell all your stuff, give away all your money, and like, Jesus is coming back, if you just wait on the, like, dress all in white, wait on some roofs. And
yeah,
there were still a lot of poor unhappy people the next day. It's upsetting.
I mean they call it
the Great Disappointment.
It was just crazy watching those billboards were up for months after the date passed, and we were just like, are you gonna take them down?
Well, maybe Jesus did come. This is what the Adventists did. They said Jesus did come back, just came back on a different plane.
Oh, okay.
And is awaiting our basically making the kingdom of God on earth. So maybe that's why they kept the billboards up, because they were hoping that, you know, You get yourself right.
Maybe like some people already got raptured and we're just hoping for a second one.
You know, that crazy next door neighbor that just disappeared.
She
absolutely did not get eaten by her cats. She was raptured up.
She was raptured up.
She got it right.
She knew. We are in the second group.
Oh no. Okay, here's my next one. Okay. This one was good. So this was in North Carolina. I wanted to get a North Carolina one. Yeah. Jesus hates tolerance almost as much as he hates you.
Oh.
That was in Clyde, North Carolina.
Wow, that's terrible.
Right? Jesus hates tolerance almost as much as he hates you.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad theology in that.
So much bad theology in there.
Oh. So I guess the idea there is don't think you're high and mighty because you are awful.
You are awful. Jesus hates you. And what are people supposed to do with that? Again, what is the end goal?
Did it not make you feel loved and cherished?
It did not.
I was like, God, Jesus is mean. I don't remember that part.
I mean, truly, I guess that's the end of that. Jesus hates me.
Yeah, and hates tolerance. So, like, don't be nice to other people or tolerate their behavior because you better well know that you're real terrible to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I thought that one was delightful. I did want to find a North Carolina one, but I was just like, wow. Okay.
Okay,
and so I know we're not supposed to think highly of ourselves, but
that's
it's tough to be in a religion where you think like
that God hates you.
That God hates you actively. It's real
again, also not accurate as to what anything about Christianity is actually trying to teach.
I mean, I don't know who's coming up with these, but I don't know that they're well trained in that world.
I cannot imagine that they are. This is another one that I have actually seen all of these as I was driving. So yeah. I don't know exactly where they were, but another one that I saw says, beyond reasonable doubt, Jesus is alive.
Wait, what?
Beyond reasonable doubt, Jesus is alive.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. So I guess you're saying you are saying
you.
They're saying that Jesus was resurrected.
Yeah.
And is God somehow the Trinity that I love to talk about. And what's the doubt bit though? Is it just saying like, so basically what is the purpose of the billboard? Is it trying to make you feel guilty that he's alive?
It's again saying like they're, beyond reasonable doubt, Jesus is alive means that, like, if you don't believe that Jesus is alive, you're an idiot because it is proven.
Somehow. How? They do that?
They don't say.
They don't say because it's a billboard.
Because, again, like, in tiny letters, Acts 1:1, I don't know which one it is because I can't read it on this picture. I also couldn't read it while I was driving by this sign.
It'd be funny if people were just like pulling over and like, okay, I gotta write this down.
I gotta look at this one verse.
Right.
Is
that like Pentecost or something?
Like how do you say beyond reasonable doubt Jesus is alive? Because even
also who said that Jesus was dead? It's sort of a cornerstone of Christianity, isn't it? That Jesus was brought back.
It is, but also it's kind of one of those things where, like, if you don't believe the things, there's no way to prove that Jesus is alive.
Well, Jesus hates you anyway.
Jesus hates you.
And your tolerance.
Jesus hates you. You know, I am not meaning this in a, like.
That one's confusing.
It was confusing.
That one's really confusing. That one's more confused. The other ones were pretty straightforward.
I had a student once who asked me this question in class, and I actually thought it was a really, like, important question because I understood completely why he was confused about this, but he was like, so when did Jesus die? And I was like, what? And he was like the second time. And I was like, what? And he was like, I know that he died on the cross and was resurrected, but then he died again. But when? And I was like, oh, see, I see how you think that, because it's not a logical thing to be like, oh, Jesus is still alive and kicking 2,000 years later.
Right. The Trent. So you mean the Trinity.
Yeah. Like, again, you have to have some faith in all of this stuff, or.
I mean, it's key. And if you don't have that, that's why I think these billboards, because, like, at least with the megaphone people, they're like, the end is near, or they're like, you're going to die and go to hell. Here's the prayer. But these billboards are just like,
they're just leaving you lost.
They're leaving you confused. Like, and maybe angry.
Probably angry, maybe a little defensive.
Yeah, like Jesus hates you and your tolerance.
Wow.
I didn't think that we were there.
I didn't think that's what we were supposed to be telling people about Jesus. I thought the song went, Jesus loves me, this I know.
For the Bible tells me.
For the Bible tells me. I think that's what we were supposed to be doing all this time.
So yeah. my final one that I have.
Yes.
This one was from in West Virginia.
Ooh.
And it just says, atheism creates wars.
Oh.
That's it.
That's incorrect.
I think Europe would like to talk to you.
I think a lot of places would like to talk about that.
That's it. Atheism creates war.
Atheism creates wars. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh my.
I looked at it and I was like, what is the, we laugh because, well, I laugh anyway because my first book was on peace building and now it's on bad theology. And I'm like, I've seen the spectrum. Religion is usually involved.
Yes. It almost always is, in fact.
So it's like in the major conflicts of the world. So the idea that the absence of religion would be what causes wars, at least historically, feels inaccurate.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah, but, I think, you know, provably, beyond a reasonable doubt, it feels inaccurate.
Right. Like, I know there's like varying, like, especially in like Northern Ireland, people would be like, oh, it's more about like land or then because that's where the Protestant Catholic stuff is happening. It's not really about that. It's more about like patriotism and whatever, whatever. And I understood that. That was a huge sort of like onion to unpeel. It's about, you know, immigration and, you know, representation and that sort of thing. But I think at the end of the day, as I peeled that onion, religion was at least a peel in it.
Yes.
It was one of the peels.
It was definitely one of the peels. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. So there you go. If you want to banish wars, just banish religion. Just
banish religion. It's worked really well in the past.
Yeah.
My last one is simple, and it just has a picture of the Holy Bible, and it says, has the truth set you free? And I feel like I understand what they're trying to do, but I also understand what's actually happening.
Has the truth. Okay. And does it say Holy? I feel like because you said Holy Bible.
Because it's a picture of the Bible. It says Holy Bible.
Yeah. I mean, again, totally fine for people who are religious. They're going to agree with that. But people who aren't are going to be kind of confused by that.
Oh, and also, again,
in what way, though?
You're not changing your opinion driving past that sign.
Right. As,
you know, I mean, maybe if people are already thinking about it, that could be like the thing that pushes them over the edge to like read the Bible. But mostly what I want to say is, have these people read the Bible? The ones putting up these billboards, have they read it?
I don't know. There's a lot of bad theology. And also, I was at a hotel this last weekend for reasons that perhaps will be revealed. And we shall see how it goes. But there was a Gideon Bible there.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't even open it. I didn't even look at it. And I just was like, so it's one of those things where it's like, you know, we're not necessarily taking the piss, as they say, of evangelicalism. Although I think it's more just the misguided, perhaps misguided ways of doing it. In some ways. Like you just put a Bible, like it's a Bible. Have you tried to read the Bible from the beginning? It's a lot.
You know, a very complex, complicated book, as it should be.
Right.
It's discussing complex and complicated things. But like,
and these billboards are just like the saddest tweet. They're like tweets.
They're like really terrible tweets.
Terrible tweets, but confusing. And they're spending all this money. Christy, I will send you the article. They're spending millions on these billboards.
I know. So much money on these billboards. And I don't understand.
Basically, we wanted to look at them because we were like, these are, you have two people who are trained in theology. And we are looking at them like, what frick is happening here? What does this mean?
And like, not just what does this mean, but like, I think you don't understand what words mean.
Right. And also what is going to get people, because again, this wasn't an evangelical group that was putting the money into the billboards. You think saying Jesus hates you and hates tolerance is going to get people to want to? Maybe it's also a chastising of people who are religious. It feels like a mix, you know?
Maybe.
Like, that feels like a chastising. The Bible thing, the truth will set you free, sounds more purely evangelistic, I would say.
It just seems like the worst way to tell people about anything, really. Except for, like, if you need a DUI attorney. Like, that's probably a good place.
Or if you want to go to Bucky's.
Oh,
my God. This is for another day, but let me tell you. They're talking about bringing a Bucky's, which is a gas station, for those of you who don't know, because I didn't know.
Is it a gas station? Because that place is crazy.
It's like Walmart gas station, apparently. Yeah. And I have been, for some, you know, you have these, like, seasons of your life where it could feel prophetic if it wasn't about a gas station, but you keep meeting people who are just like, let me tell you, you know, speaking of evangelism, let me tell you about Bucky's.
Have you been to a Bucky's?
No, because they're not anywhere that I've lived or driven past. I'm not like against Bucky's.
I've only been once and it was mind blowing.
This is what people see. This is the kind of evangelism we need. Because now I'm deeply, deeply intrigued. I'm going to stop at the first Bucky's I see. But I've never been. I don't know.
I don't even know how to describe it. I was trying to tell my mom about it. I was like, this is this place, because we were driving by one. And she was like, I don't understand what you're saying. And I was like, I don't understand how to explain it.
I was at a bar and some guy who was very lovely, I should say, not that he ever would listen to this, but he was a random dude and he was really nice, but he was just like very excited about this conversation. And I just, you know, much like being evangelized, I like heard him out, and I found myself, unlike the billboards, deeply interested in Bucky's.
Right. There are ways to put things on billboards that's attractive, and none of these billboards about God or Jesus or Christianity in general are accomplishing that.
Because Bucky's just puts like I was driving from Charlotte to Dollywood, and there was like Bucky's 90 miles, because they do the countdown. Now if it was like the end of the world countdown, and as you went, like the time was decreasing, you know, I might pull over.
I might pull over for that. Yeah.
if you're gonna do the millions, like dedicate it.
Do it
like Bucky's.
Here's what I think we should do. We're gonna come up with better billboards. And
we're gonna come up with, oh my God, Christy, what if we do a Bucky's but religion Bucky's? So it's like all of our and there's still, because the guy just kept telling me that there was barbecue. He was really into telling me that. So we have barbecue too. You can have veggie. You can have veggie barbecue if you want.
There's also a really great coffee station in the Buc-ee's. That was my favorite part.
So we can do like a holy coffee situation.
Holy coffee situation.
It'll be like just like on Sunday morning if you're in a hipster church. It's like whatever. Like we can
do. You miss your hipster church coffee? Here we have it.
Here we have it, and it's all free. And we can all also you have to do is maybe talk to some people you don't want to talk to, and that's okay. We
can also have a man in a flannel shirt playing the banjo somewhere.
Yes, but he needs to be playing Dolly Parton songs. We've come full circle.
Full circle.
I feel like that's an indication that we should maybe stop. Also, because, which, by the way, listeners, we had some intense technical mm-hmm. difficulties, and I'm going to try to piece this together.
But we apologize.
Thank you for sticking with us. And if you want to fund our Buc-ee's for Jesus, is what I'm going to call it.
If you want to fund it, well, first come to Theology Beer Camp.
Come to Theology Beer Camp, Rocks.
And then Rocks, God Pod. And then also send us money for Buc-ee's, the religious Jesus Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's. We're going to have to come up with a different name.
Buc-ee's for Jesus. I don't know why you're just, it's so brilliant. It's like, do we want other religion? I mean, if we want to open it, I don't know. Jesus hates tolerance though. So we got to be careful. Jesus
hates you.
We got to be right. He hates your endeavors. Oh, now I'm sad. Oh, no. All right. I'm going to go to Buc-ee's and get a hat and some clothes. Apparently they sell clothes as well.
They do. They sell everything. It's wild. Oh, well. That's all I can say.
I look forward to someday seeing it. Always right. 90 miles away.
So. 90 miles away. Well, thanks again. And we will be back next week, hopefully with less technical difficulties.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
But we do love you guys.
We do.
Go to beer camp. Come drink with us. Goodbye.
Bye.